I'm a cybersecurity hypocrite, and you should be too. I break my own cybersecurity rules all the time. I use an iPhone, I log my workouts into a third-party app. That doesn't make me reckless. It means I understand how real privacy works and what's actually worth protecting. After 15 years in cybersecurity, working with the Air Force, I'm flipping the risk frameworks I use for them and showing you how to use them against the companies profiling you. I teach people how to dodge scams, spot leaks, and protect their privacy like their life depends on it. Because sometimes it actually does. I show them how to strip metadata, how to spot phishing, and how to lock down their device, but you saw it. I don't follow every rule I teach. And the truth is, that's not a failure, that's a strategy. Because here's what nobody talks about. Perfect privacy doesn't exist. And if you're out here trying to be a ghost with blurred faces, without trackers, no metadata or trace, you're chasing a fantasy. One that'll leave you burnt out or frozen or both. Privacy isn't about locking down every inch of your life. The trick isn't to eliminate risk, it's to set a baseline, which is a standard for what you will and won't accept and live by. That's why I call myself a cybersecurity hypocrite. And if you actually care about your freedom, you might need to become one too. But where's the line between being cautious and just living in fear? If you've ever tried to go full tinfoil, ditch your smartphone, live cash only, stay off the grid, you already know it's a logistical nightmare. All it takes is one Google Maps check-in, card swipe, and boom, your trail is exposed. We're never fully private, not in the system. Every phone ping, app, every tap to pay, it's all logged, tagged, stored, or sold. And if you think it's possible to disappear completely, even Snowden, the guy who exposed the NSA, fled the US, and lives in exile, couldn't fully erase his footprint. He used full encryption to reduce the blast radius, but he still had to accept risk. And that's what most people miss. Privacy isn't on or off, it's a spectrum. Every single choice you make moves you somewhere on that scale. And if you refuse to accept any risk, that's like locking yourself in a windowless room for life because you're scared someone might break in. Sure, nobody's getting through, but you're not getting out either. So if total invisibility isn't the goal, how do you draw the line between paranoia and protection? And what would your personal baseline even look like? Every time I hit the gym, I open my workout tracker and log my lifts. Not because I'm obsessed with data, but because before I started tracking, I stayed stuck with random workouts and weight, no plan or much progress at all. But once I started logging my lists, everything changed. I stopped second guessing, I started training with intention, and my strength took off. Now, do I know that that data might be scraped, sold, or used by insurers against me later? Yeah, and I'm still choosing it for now because I've got a long-term plan. When my platform's big enough, I'm going to build privacy-respecting versions of all the apps I love that don't force you to pick between progress and privacy. But right now, the trade-off gets me results, and I own it. That's the key. And here's what I don't mess with: period trackers. They are way too risky during these times, especially if you've got a uterus. That data can be sold, leaked, and definitely used against you. I also don't use sleep or biometric tracking. I don't need an app monitoring my body while I sleep, and I do not want that at all. And I also do not use Windows machines. It has way too much baked-in surveillance. I won't go near them. But I do use Apple. However, I've hardened it. I've stripped out what I can, I've added the tools that I trust, and it means that the convenience stays, but it's actually on my terms. And yes, I post my real face online because my mission is much bigger than being private and hiding. However, I don't post personal info, I scrub my data, and I keep it tight. But I still show up because disappearing helps no one. But this is what real privacy looks like. It's not perfection or paranoia, it's just conscious trade-offs made with clarity. Privacy is the agency to choose which information you're willing to share and which information you want to keep to yourself. So how do I know that logging my list is worth the risk, but period trackers aren't? That's where risk frameworks come in. You don't need a cybersecurity degree to make smart decisions about your privacy. You just need a simple framework that asks three things. First, what's the actual threat here, and what's the worst-case scenario? How could this data be used against you if somebody horrible took over? Two, what really matters to you? What's personal, sensitive, or dangerous if it got leaked? That would be considered your crown jewels. And third, what's your move? Do you accept the risk, mitigate it, or avoid it completely? That's risk management, and it works. Here's how I use it. I accept the risk of logging my list because it's the only way I can track real progress. I mitigate the risk of using Apple by hardening the operating system, stripping down permissions, and locking it down. I avoid period trackers entirely because the risk there is way too high. And when it comes to posting online, I use Delete Me to remove my info from data broker sites. I know I'm still trusting a company with my verified details, but I have decided that the risk is smaller than the risk of my PII being scattered across every shade of broker database on the internet. That's what intentional risk looks like. And from there, I built my baseline, my non-negotiables, so you don't have to overthink every choice. It's your anchor, your defense, and everything else is optional. Here's what mine includes. No app gets full location access. Camera and mic permissions are off unless I'm actively using them. My browser runs real tracker blocking. I use a unique email alias for my signups, and I never reuse passwords, ever. Your baseline might be totally different, and that's exactly the point. It's not about copying mine, it's about knowing your line and sticking to it. Because if you're not the one deciding where that line is, who already did it for you? If you haven't set a privacy baseline yet, someone else already has for you, and it's not in your favor. Advertisers, data brokers, insurers, law enforcement love people who leave everything at default. When you don't check your app permissions, when you let your location run constantly, and when you don't stop and ask why a game needs access to your microphone. Because the second you tap allow, they're in, and your data becomes inventory. And here's the why now. This isn't just about shady marketers. Agencies like ICE are already buying up location data from data brokers to track people. They don't need a warrant or probable cause. They just write a check to a random third party, and suddenly your phone pings, app logins, and your everyday digital footprint becomes fuel for immigration crackdowns. And that's not hypothetical, it's happening right now. ICE has used this kind of data to identify, target, and detain people inside the US. And if they can do that to immigrants, what makes you think they won't use the same playbook on protesters, journalists, and anyone else who gets in the way? Real lists are being sold right now. These are actual data products like pregnant women in their third trimester, casino visitors, or people who recently visited an abortion clinic. Yes, those lists exist. Yes, they're being bought. And the wildest part is you probably gave consent buried in some random terms of service you never actually read. With fitness apps, you probably think your movement data is just for you, and it might start as a discount for your insurer. But once your insurer gets access, the same data can be used to say, hey, you've been slacking, time to raise your premium. And credit cards will flag your purchases. They'll flag your liquor store visits, your gambling purchases, anything that looks risky. And the cashback bonus comes with strings. And law enforcement doesn't always need a warrant anymore, not when they can just buy the data from the broker who scraped it from your weather app. So if you're not setting the rules, who's already building a profile on you right now? Let me ask you this. If someone knocked on your door and said, hey, I'll give you a $10 gift card if you hand over a copy of your house key, would you do it? Because that's what most of us do every time we blindly tap agree on an app or website. We're trading away pieces of our privacy for convenience. And let's be honest, sometimes just because we're tired. And it's not just shady apps. Smart assistants are always listening. Not for the wake word, your voice recordings get uploaded. Some have been reviewed by actual people. And cloud backups grab every message, photo, and file unless you tell them otherwise. But most people don't. Not because they don't care, but because they don't know. And the impact isn't always instant. Sometimes it's weirdly specific ads showing up after a thought barely formed in your head. Other times it's your location history showing up in the wrong place at the wrong time in the middle of the wrong political moment. And by the time you find out, it's already happened. So the next time you hit agree, are you just trying to move faster or are you accidentally handing over the keys? If you try to eliminate every single risk from your digital life, you won't feel free. You'll feel stuck. Zero risk sounds smart until it starts to look like isolation. You second guess everything, stop using tools that help you grow. You avoid progress just to avoid harm. But the flip side, saying yes to everything just because it's easier is exactly how you get profiled, tracked, and exploited without even knowing it. In fact, studies show that the average person has over 80 online accounts, but reuses the same password across 60% of them. One breach, and it's not just one account that's exposed, it's your entire online life. So what's the real move? Intentional risk. Set your baseline. Build habits that stick. And no, it doesn't have to be extreme. Here's what it looks like for me. turning on automatic software updates so you're not walking around with known security holes, run a permission audit on your phone every few months, log out of accounts that you don't use, and use real tracker blockers, not the fake ones that just look good on your browser. You don't need to spend hours setting this. Work it into your second brain and add it to a checklist. Let your systems do the remembering for you, because freedom doesn't come from dodging every risk. It comes from knowing which ones are worth taking and not getting blindsided by the rest. So, are your current habits actually protecting your freedom or just making you feel better while the leaks keep dripping? Here's what flips when you set your baseline. Advertisers get less, insurers see less, and law enforcement can't just go around you anymore. They actually have to go through you and the normal judicial process. Because when you control your data, you control the rules. And the ripple effect is bigger than just you. We've already seen what happens when enough people push back. So browsers now ship with tracker blocking turned on, devices include privacy labels and transparency reports, and entire products have been pulled off the market when users stop handing over their data. That didn't come from waiting around for new laws. That happened because people started saying no loudly. So imagine if more of us did that. Imagine if thousands of people set boundaries, built baselines, and actually stuck to them. What kind of internet would we have if privacy wasn't something you had to fight for, but something you could finally expect by default? And what happens when the system finally realizes we're not just here to be harvested? Let's be honest, if you care about privacy, you're going to have contradictions. You'll have to make trade-offs, and you'll have to use tools that aren't always perfect. You'll accept risks sometimes, even when you wish you didn't have to. That doesn't make you sloppy, it makes you strategic and human. I log my lists, but don't track my cycle. I use Apple, but I'll never touch Windows. I post online, but I don't post anything that exposes me. And I teach people how to stay safer, even while making calculated trade-offs myself. That's real-world privacy. Because this work is about clarity, not perfection. It's about setting boundaries you can actually live with, and it's about having agency, the power to choose your own risks instead of letting someone else choose them for you. So here's what I want you to do next. First, write down your three hard no's. That's the start of your own baseline. Three risks you're never willing to take. Maybe it's biometric tracking. Maybe it's full location sharing. Maybe it's using your real name online. You get to decide. Then build your baseline around those. And if you want the full book with citations, case studies, and step-by-step guidance on how to baseline your entire digital life, you'll find it inside my Cyber Resistance Club. That's where I go way deeper with practical tools you can actually use to lock this down without losing your mind. The link's below. And if you want help actually living that baseline without spiraling into paranoia, subscribe to this channel. I've got the tools, the systems, and the mindset shifts to help you lock it down in a way that works. Because the people who are winning this game are not chasing perfection. They're just paying attention. So are you ready to stop performing privacy and start protecting your power?